Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Brian Hanley, Mark Zander talking Bears, talking the new offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, and Matt Schneidman joins us from The Athletic this morning here on ESPN 1000 on the Corona Hotline. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
It's good. We just want to know who this Luke Getsy guy is.
Well, he's a guy that has the utmost trust and respect of two of the best players in the NFL, in Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I mean, where both of those guys have gotten to at this point in their careers, I think Getsy deserves a good amount of credit. Rodgers is extremely fond of him. Getsy's just been the quarterback coach for the last three seasons, but before that, he was the offensive coordinator at Mississippi State, and before that, he was the Packers wide receivers coach in 2016 and 2017, which were Devontae Adams' first 2 years kind of really breaking out in the league. And obviously, more recently, his specialty has been the quarterback position. But earlier this year, before the Packers played the Ravens, I asked Devontae Adams about one of the Ravens' assistant coaches who has been his personal coach for a long time and his impact on him. And unprompted, Devontae Adams said, you know, I want to give some props to Luke Getsy because he's been huge in my development, too. So more than anything I can say, the testimonies of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are probably more important. And it'll be interesting to see what Luke can do given the opportunity to call plays in Chicago.
Well, that's the thing, Matt. Now that he has the keys to the car and we're all trying to figure out what kind of scheme, you know, what mindset does he have? Because you're the passing game coordinator in Green Bay. But as you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is there. Matt LaFleur is calling plays. You know, Nathaniel Hackett is now the head coach of Denver. Can you discern for our listeners how much, as I've read that he had a lot of influence in the schemes that they ran in Green Bay, how much input did he have beyond just, you know, being a player development guy? And it's great to hear Devontae Adams give testimony to how much he meant to him, but in actual X's and O's, how much input did he have in the offense being run up there?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it is in other places in the NFL, but something I've gotten a sense of here in Green Bay is Matt LaFleur delegates a lot of responsibility to his assistant coaches. So yes, he obviously calls the plays, and you can even question how much influence he has because Aaron Rodgers has so much freedom at the line of scrimmage, but Luke Getsy, Nathaniel Hackett, even Adam Stenovich, the O-line coach who the Packers just promoted to offensive coordinator, they have a lot of say in the game plan, and it's a lot more of a collaborative effort than it is, you know, Matt LaFleur just deciding something and everyone else going along with it. So schematically, I think he had not the biggest part on staff, but certainly a big part. And anytime, you know, you have that much say and that much influence on one of the best offenses in the league, one of the best passing games, then you're going to draw the attention of other teams. I'm interested to see, you know, just reading the tea leaves among Bears fans on Twitter, seems like they want Justin Fields to take some more downfield shots, and it seems that you're getting a guy who's coming from an offense who takes a bunch of downfield shots in the Packers. Now, obviously, that's with Aaron Rodgers, but maybe some of that influence rubs off in Chicago.
You know, Matt, it's interesting. From our perspective, it seems like Aaron Rodgers, you know, him selling him, you know, Luke Getsy, is really – really a good bit of info, because it seems like maybe he's not relying on anybody. Aaron just kind of seems like that type of guy. So for him to endorse him as he has been a real good indicator. What do you think took so long? Because we were talking about this yesterday. It wasn't confirmed yet by Adam Schefter. It seemed like he was sitting on this possibility for a while. Any insight on what maybe he was considering before he accepted the Bears job?
Well, it just seems that it was a pretty easy decision. Now, I don't know the exact particulars of his entire thought process, but, you know, whether it's the Yankees to the Red Sox or the Packers to the Bears, if you're getting a significant bump in responsibility, you're going to take it. That's the business. And
yep.
I imagine it wasn't too hard of a decision, and because calling plays in the NFL is is something that comes at a premium. There are only 32 people in the world who call offensive plays in the NFL, and now Luke Getsy is one of them. Now, he was most likely going to be promoted to offensive coordinator in Green Bay, but he would not have been the play caller. And if he had gone out to Denver with Nathaniel Hackett and been offensive coordinator, he would have not been the play caller. But obviously with a defensive head coach now in Chicago, he will be the play caller. And you look at what happened with Brian Daboll in Buffalo. If you are an offensive coordinator and play caller for a young quarterback, and that young quarterback becomes something, you will get a head coaching job. And Luke Getsy interviewed for the Broncos job a little while back, but it didn't seem like he was necessarily ready for head coach material, even though Matt LaFleur said he was. So if Luke Getsy can take Justin Fields to the heights or even near them that, you know, for example, Brian Daboll took Josh Allen these last couple of years, he could be a head coach, and this is probably the best path to get him there.
When you look at developing a quarterback like Justin Fields, can you discern how much he's developed Jordan Love? We haven't seen much of Love at all, other than, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was hurt. How much has Jordan Love developed, even though he hasn't been the starter up there?
That's the million-dollar question. He hasn't looked great in the game and a half he played this year, but then again, how fair is it to judge someone on such a small sample size? Now, Aaron Rodgers, you know, nobody was saying, "Oh, we're set for the next 15 years" when he even took over as the full-time starter. And Jordan Love obviously had his rookie preseason wiped out, and then was injured this preseason, and only played this year when Rodgers had COVID, and then the second half of the season finale. So it'll be interesting to see if they do in fact move on from Aaron Rodgers, what Jordan Love can do. And that probably brings a smile to Bears fans' faces that I'm saying it doesn't seem Jordan Love is ready yet. But then again, we only get to watch 20 days of practice every day. And even if he is showing out at practice, that's probably not the best indicator of what he can do in games. And, you know, to read into the game and a half he's played this year would be unfair to him. And whether Rodgers is here or not, it'll be fascinating to see what they do with Jordan Love here in the near future.
Talking to Matt Schneidman of The Athletic. As a Bears fan, we love if we can cause any type of disruption up in Green Bay.
Yep.
Because that's our lot in life.
Yeah, right now, that's all we have to hold on to, okay? Yeah. At least we get a little satisfaction on a cold Sunday. Is this causing a little disruption up there? Is this, or is this something that could easily... Yeah, you know, move around, losing Hackett and losing Getsy, and just kind of continuing on. And what do you think might happen with Rodgers?
I have said for the last couple of weeks, I think Rodgers is getting traded. I know NFL Network came out with a report this morning that people in the building are optimistic that he'll come back after he stayed extra to kind of go over the offseason plan with them. Rodgers said he was going to do that after the season. He said, "I'm going to, you know, for the next week, I'm going to, you know, talk to Brian Gutekunst, get his mind on where some things are at. I need to figure that out." So I still think Rodgers gets traded. I think there's probably a sense, I wouldn't blame them if there's a sense around the building of if we didn't win it this year with how well Rodgers played, are we ever going to? Mm-hmm. And given the salary cap situation we're going into, why not just move on and start anew and see what Jordan Love has? I'm going to stick to my prediction that both Rodgers and Adams get traded to Denver with Nathaniel Hackett as head coach and possibly Justin Outen, the Packers tight ends coach, as offensive coordinator. So I'm going to stick to my prediction there. Now, this is the beginning of the Matt LaFleur coaching tree, it seems. He's probably not happy that his guys are leaving, but that's the price you pay when you have a successful offense. And he understands that, I'm sure. Now, Luke Butkus, I reported this morning, obviously nephew of Dick Butkus, got promoted to Packers offensive line coach. So Bears steal one of the Packers coaches, and maybe the Packers try and get back at them by promoting a Butkus to a pretty prominent position coach on staff.
Yeah, wasn't he quality control coach here with the Bears for a while back a few years ago? But, yeah, that interesting doings up there. Speaking of coaches, Matt LaFleur, didn't let Aaron Rodgers try to win a game, and then – now 13 victories, three consecutive years, and no Super Bowl appearances. How are Green Bay Packers fans feeling about Matt LaFleur these days?
It's a mixed bag, it seems. I mean, this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, and Matt LaFleur has been arguably the best regular season head coach over the last 3 years. You know, you can have your argument about, oh, he has Aaron Rodgers, but Matt LaFleur's done a really good job with this team, especially this year with all the injuries they had and finding ways to scheme Devontae Adams open despite constant double coverage. They're not feeling great, and that's probably most notably because he kept their special teams coordinator on, and we obviously saw the special teams disaster they had in the NFC divisional round against the 49ers last weekend. I still think Matt LaFleur is a really good head coach, but until he and Rodgers win a big game, or two of them, or three of them, then there's going to be the question looming over everyone's head here in Green Bay as to whether they can deliver when it matters most. So the criticism is justifiable, but I still think he's a pretty good head coach that's obviously right for this organization.
So if what would they have to get back? What do you think they have a chance of getting back in a trade if Rodgers went to Denver?
I think it's got to be three first-round picks and a second. Ooh. I mean, I understand Rodgers is 38 years old. I understand he probably has, let's say he has four more years of really good quarterback play. This is the back-to-back MVP. If you say, you know, oh, he didn't play well in the playoffs, or oh, he's getting older, that's fine. He's still going to be possibly a top five quarterback in the NFL for the next half decade. Hmm. And a team like the Broncos should be willing to give up that to you know, win a Super Bowl now. I would imagine it's three first-round picks at least. That's the bare minimum. And if they throw in Devontae Adams in the deal via tag and trade, which is possible, maybe an extra first-round pick and a second-round pick and a player. I mean, that's the best wide receiver in football. So it's a big price, and I would expect it to start at a minimum of three first-rounders.
See, Ryan Pace would give you seven first-round picks just for Rodgers, but that's just that's the way he rolled.
Other teams,
that's
probably why he's unemployed right now,
and not being interviewed by anybody.
Yeah, totally forgotten. He needs some rest. So the picture you just painted from Denver, it makes a lot of sense for Green Bay to say, you know what, maybe it is time to start over.
It's possible. I mean, Matt LaFleur in his season-ending press conference with us last Monday, he said there's no plan for a rebuild. Everyone in the front office, the organization, is on the same page that we want Aaron Rodgers back. And that's fine and dandy, and I believe it. I'm sure Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy and Matt LaFleur all want Aaron Rodgers back, but that doesn't mean he will be back. Is it possible they all gather and go over the financial state of this franchise, which is not in a good spot salary cap-wise? They're in the second worst salary cap position of anyone in the NFL, almost $50 million over the cap. And Aaron Rodgers accounts for a lot of that. I believe it's 22% of the salary cap right now. So if they think, Aaron Rodgers gives us the best chance to win, but if we haven't gotten to the Super Bowl the last 3 years when he's playing at this level, we never will. Maybe we just go to a run-heavy team and stack our defense and try that. I mean, it's worked for the 49ers the last couple of years. So it's possible. Do I think they should? No, I think they should do everything to keep Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams because they are playing the last couple of years like the best players at their positions in the league. But will they? I think, now this is my guess, we should be talking to Brian Gutekunst here in the next couple of days, but I think he will be more willing and more open to a potential trade of Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Should he be? I don't think so. Will he be? My guess is yes, but we'll see what he says.
Well, and we don't mind that here in Chicago. Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, thank you so much. Great insight. We appreciate you joining us here on ESPN 1000.
Appreciate for having me.
Thanks, Matt.
So, we'll continue the discussion, 312-332-3776, if you want to jump in on anything that Matt had mentioned about our new OC, Luke Getsy, and all of the positives that he brings to the Bears, 312-332-3776. It's Xander, it's Hanley, and we'll be talking to you coming up here on ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, and Xander and Hanley. Bears Bonanza Monday tomorrow, Brian, 5 to 7. And we're going to have Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. 7 to 10 in their usual spot, Cap and Jay Hood. 10 to 1, Carmen and Yurko. We'll have Ryan Poles, the new Bears GM, in the noon hour. 1 to 2, commercial-free Carmen, Yurko, Waddle, and Sylvie all together. And then 2 to 6, Waddle and Sylvie in their usual spot. They will have Coach Eberflus of the Chicago Bears on with them. And then 6 to 8, Black and Abdallah on a Bears Bonanza Monday here on ESPN 1000. So we heard from Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, and he talked about what a trade might look like with the Packers. Ooh. And the Broncos. That's some heavy stuff, but that's really not a surprise, right?
Well, I mean, God bless them. They get 3 ones and a two,
yep.
And
yep.
That's a
it makes all kinds of sense
high price of playing like poker right there. And is it really poker? He basically says, here's the team I want to go to. He said, you know, he would work with them if that's his option, that that's his decision to say goodbye to Green Bay, that he would go to the Packers and say, let's work on something that makes everybody happy. Mm-hmm. But look, if you're John Elway, I mean, you're desperate out there for a quarterback, right? So
right.
Well, maybe you just pony up and say, whatever it takes, let's get him out here.
Al in Portage Park, jumping on ESPN 1000. Hey, Al.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just was sitting here reading the Santa Anita Racing Form this morning and going to be
God
looking forward
you.
To watching my Chiefs play this afternoon. So I just wanted to, I got a take on the gentleman caller from Athletic about the trade. So I've been a Chiefs fan for decades, longtime Chiefs fan, familiar with the AFC West. And hey, I think I'd love to see the Broncos make that trade and give up 3 ones and a two and whatever else to get Rodgers, because it would set the Broncos back, I believe. I don't think Rodgers would have the cakewalk playing against Mahomes twice a year, playing against Herbert twice a year, and playing against the Raiders twice a year. I mean, Carr's no slouch either. I don't know that it would work that well for Denver.
It's an interesting point because, when you think of great quarterback play, you don't think of the North necessarily. But as a Chiefs fan, who are you hoping to see Kansas City meet in the Super Bowl?
Well, I really was hoping to see Tampa Bay. I wanted to see them avenge last year's loss. But, I mean, them getting there would be great. Since they beat San Fran a couple years ago, I guess, if they played the Rams, it would be somebody new. And if you guys remember a couple years ago, they had a really fun game, the Rams and the Chiefs on Monday night a couple seasons back. Was just, great game, and I guess everyone would love to see a game like that again. I just want them to get there, and whoever they play, I want to see them win. It'd be nice to see Mahomes win a second Super Bowl and continue this window of opportunity that the team has currently.
All right, we'll get back to the pick six at Santa Anita, and thanks for the call.
Yeah. Pick five.
Right. Yeah, it's smarter. Yeah,
thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
312-332-3776. All right, Brian. People are calling for our picks. I'm going to go easy. It seems like the Chiefs and Rams are going to make it to the Super Bowl. It's not to say the Bengals won't make it. Close.
Okay, this is bizarro world because you were all about the Bengals the last 2 weeks, right?
Not last week.
You have in-laws? I mean, what? You had some family tie?
Yeah. Look, I think Burrow's going to do. I just don't think they're going to get over the hump, but they're going to make it close. But I think Burrow has all kinds of upside, and I don't think it's going to be this year, though.
Okay, so our Twitter poll question is, what is your Super Bowl matchup? And Al just gave us his.
Yep.
Now, KC versus the Rams, there are odds available attached to all these choices, yep. These four choices. KC and Rams, that's your odds on at even money. KC versus the Niners, you get plus 230. Bengals versus the Rams, you get plus 480. And you'd have to get this bet in by 2 o'clock, I believe, today. And then Bengals versus the 49ers, you get a hefty, healthy plus 900.
Wow.
And I will argue that the Bengals haven't won a playoff game yet. The two teams lost playoff games, and they were the benefactors of that.
Right.
But like a lot of people, I would certainly take the points, and that's the trend going because it was 7.5. Now it's down to 7.
Yep.
And I'm giving them a I'm picking them to upset Kansas City. Kansas City's defense, not all that. And I think Burrow's going to have a big day, and you know Mahomes will. And the 49ers seem to have the Rams number, and I do think that Kyle Shanahan, having studied Matt Stafford, will have a good book that he's can again give his defensive staff to help contain Stafford or get him to throw his first postseason pick, right? So
you're calling for the Niners and the Bengals.
The plus 900, and I'll be just dumb enough to put some money behind that. And Tyler Aki and I were talking about, you know, he was the college hoops genius that he is. We had interesting days wagering college basketball yesterday. Some odd results and some complete second half collapses. That one I was I won on Xavier coming back and bearing Creighton at Creighton, and then it's just amazing that I had that. Actually, I had the Sacramento Kings over 103.5 points, and they scored 64 in the first half, and I'm counting my money. They ended up with 103. I lost by the hook. There goes my Xavier money.
That's tough.
That's what you get for betting on the Kings, though.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I mean, it was, I don't know what it made. Yeah, I don't, maybe it was the one scotch and soda I had yesterday, but there you go.
That's all it took. Hey, yeah. Tyler, what are you thinking on the Super Bowl matchup?
I think we're going to get a Chiefs. I'm really torn in this NFC matchup here, because obviously the Niners have the blueprint to take down the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think the Rams are the more talented team. I think the whole it's tough to beat a team three times thing is a bit of a misnomer, too, that's kind of been proven throughout sports, that if you beat a team two times, you're pretty likely to beat them three times over the course of the season.
And haven't they beat them the last six?
Yeah, they have. So I don't know if that logic changes. It's tough to beat a team seven straight times or something. I don't know. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the Niners, because what they have done also from a fan base standpoint, too. Like, we've talked all season long about how SoFi really hasn't been a quote-unquote home field advantage for this Rams team and the Chargers. Because
it's going to be 70%. It'll be 70%.
I mean, did you see Jerry World? It was like a 60-40 split.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it was that like a five-hour drive and maybe an hour and 15-minute flight?
Well, not just that, but you'd imagine there's a good bulk of Niners fans that just live there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I mean, how many football fans are there really in L.A.? And they got two teams.
Well, I lived in Southern California, and surprisingly, there are, and I lived near L.A., there are a fair amount of Niners fans down there. But again, they're all casual. They're all casual.
But
they're all looking at their phones. I mean, they're kind of into it.
If they're not Niners fans, they're beach fans. I mean, more people would rather go to the beach than a football game on Sunday, right?
If the weather's cooperating, certainly.
Kind of like here.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. So you got the Twitter poll. Who's going to go to the Super Bowl after today? And if you want to jump in here or go ahead, vote on Twitter, 312-332-3776. If you're calling for the Niners or you're calling for what might be perceived as an upset, sell your point to us. 312-332-3776. Brian, you've got great points there. I mean, the Chiefs didn't win that game as much as the Bills lost it.
The Bills' defense totally collapsed.
Yep. And the Bengals, who you were willing to ignore for 2 weeks, and now you're a big fan, which I'm
not a big
amazing.
Fan. I'm not a big fan. But the Kansas City Chiefs' defense won't get to Burrow's nine times like Tennessee did.
Right, it's still amazing to think that Burrow got knocked down nine times and still was able to come out with a win.
It was, I mean, a historical sack number in a postseason game, and you found a way to lose that game. And, similar to the week before. So
for me, I hear what you guys are saying about the Niners, and they just seem to keep hanging in there. And
they're a momentum team right
now. Yeah, they are. They are. But I think it's Stafford's time with the Rams. So it should be interesting. 312-332-3776. We've got Jim that wants to jump on from Antioch, who wants to talk about Tom Brady. Hey, Jim, good morning. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. Hey, if he's really retiring, wouldn't it be nice if he gave a little wave goodbye at the Pro Bowl and had his family on the field and such?
Does anybody watch that?
Does anybody go to it?
I think it would, it'd be a way to say goodbye. instead of just in front of a microphone and reporters.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, but most players don't even want to play in the Pro Bowl. That's why Mitch Trubisky actually got there, because five people, I think, said no that year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to see it just in a...
in a, like a press conference or whatever?
Yeah. He'll do it on Jim Gray's show, right? Don't they do a podcast together?
Well, like, if you turned the Pro Bowl into the Brady retirement party, it'd be the first meaningful Pro Bowl ever.
It would be.
And you're doing it in Vegas? Like, I think you could do it right.
What if he had Bounty Gate and you had, you know, put some money on if you can hurt Tom Brady in the Pro Bowl? Just like on his way out the door.
And you're right. You could take some air out of the balls. I mean, we could be like a big joke, like a big thing, right?
Underinflated footballs only in the game.
Yeah. That would make it interesting. I don't think I've watched the Pro Bowl since I was 12.
Well, that's a great question. How is it when he announces it after he collects the $15 million on Friday? Is it just by Twitter? Is it standing in front of microphones? Is it some big television production like LeBron had on The Decision? It was Jim Gray in that one too, wasn't he? He was,
I think, so. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but anyway, how does he go out? He said he didn't want a farewell season, didn't want a hullabaloo about that. But okay, that's a great question. Does he just go and pick up Aaron Rodgers at the airport? How does that work? I don't know.
312-332-3776. We'll take your ideas on how Brady should retire when he officially retires after he cashes that check. He has to make sure it goes through the system, though, first. Right?
Yeah, I think a check that large, you'd probably have to have, you know, someone in the fraud department look at it and make sure it's, you know, how they hold the $100 bill up at the grocery store.
Yeah, hold it up to the light. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, what are they looking for?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some kind of, I have no idea, some kind of marking on there or something. But yeah, they'll validate that check. They'll validate that check.
Yeah, that's Gronk's face on that bill. Wait a minute. That's not, that we can't take
right.
That. Nope.
312-332-3776. Talking to you, coming back with your calls and more here on ESPN 1000.
Tom Brady is planning to retire, and this would mark the end of the career of the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
The end of the sixth round. Among the last six picks taken, a familiar name if you're a college football fan. Tom Brady, the quarterback who all he did was lead this football team, put them in the right position.
He's backing off, though, not coming on the blitz. Brady has a million times, all day to throw, and dives in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry Glenn.
Brady looking to throw, airing it out. Brady coming back to the football. David Patton, he could take it the distance. Patton streaks in.
And Brady throwing for Moss. Goes up and gets it. Randy Moss.
Brady with time. Going back again to Moss. Touchdown, Patriots. There's two great football players showing why they're great. And Brady and Moss hook up on a record catch.
So is Brady out of the gun from the half-yard line. Why not? To Wes Welker. Wes Welker pulling away. And he ties an NFL record with a 99-yard touchdown.
Oh, my. How many guys throw it out of their end zone in an empty backfield?
Brady.
Caught. Touchdown. Julian Edelman. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth.
Gotcha. I've never heard of 600 in anything in football, but Brady has it with a strike to Evans over the middle.
Middle of the time, wide to the left. Brady looking the other way. Brady going deep down the right sideline for Evans. He makes the catch. He's in for the score. Here's Brady's pass. It's Gronkowski. Back again.
Brady play action. Looking. Third option. End zone. Caught. Again with the touchdown.
Way to go, buddy. Wow. This is what we do. This is what we do.
There are two tighties.
You got it! I'm saving them for the Super Bowl.
You did it all!
And when the Super Bowl ended, the ball would be in the hands of Tom Brady. I
don't know why we ever think it won't.
199th pick. Brian.
Sixth round.
Yeah.
Also drafted by the Yankees, right?
No, Expos.
It was the Expos.
Expos.
Did you see
Expos.
Yesterday one of the Montreal papers put out the last active Expos draft pick? Has
right. And they put him in an Expos uniform. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a long time ago.
I actually covered some games up in Montreal when the Cubs played up there in Olympic Stadium where the roof never worked.
How was that? Well, okay. I was going to say, how was that place? But I guess, yeah.
No, Montreal. I mean, if you can't get to Europe, go to Quebec or Montreal. It's like being there. That's terrific.
312-332-3776. Brian, I just looked up Tom E. Curran. He's on NBCSports.com. He's a Pats insider. And he reports that Tom Brady didn't retire on Saturday, currently out of the country, will be gone into next week, but retirement does seem imminent. But he's going to want to make that splash. He's going to want to make that announcement. And that's why his agent, Don Yee, and his father jumped in and said, everybody
slow,
keep their
shirts. Slow your roll.
But he's going to want to make that announcement. And Tom goes on to say that, he said, I took him at his word that he would play until he sucked. And he doesn't. And he didn't this year. And this is a good way to go out if you're going out. I mean,
that and $15 million on Friday, that's an even better way to go out.
But he could take the 15 and then play another year.
Well, but he's not going to do that. He's going to take the 15 and then figure out whatever ceremony or parade.
How to do it. How to make this announcement.
Yeah.
Yep. 312-332-3776. You wonder if the fan base in the Boston area is sad or happy. I mean, it was tough to lose him down to Tampa Bay and see him do that in Tampa Bay, which is what makes him the GOAT. But you wonder, wonder what they're feeling if you're a Patriots fan. 312-332.
I know what they're feeling. They're cold and they're shoveling quite a bit.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
The nor'easter jumped to like 2 feet of snow. I saw Boston had a record for snowfall in a single day yesterday of 26 and change, almost 27 inches of snow.
That hurts.
I mean, there are times I wonder why we all live here in the winter.
But when those nor'easters get working up there.
Yeah, there's no Midwesterner.
No, thankfully.
Yeah.
Thankfully. 312-332-3776. So what is going to happen, with Tom, and who's going to end up in Tampa Bay? Is Aaron Rodgers a possibility down there? We don't know. But somebody's going to have to take that in. I can't remember who the backup is in Tampa Bay. Do we even know? Because it's been the Tom Brady show down there.
That's all you need to know. And speaking of possibilities, Jim Harbaugh had a little meeting yesterday with the Minnesota Vikings. Just a kind of, what do you think? Because their new GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, it was a Mensah meeting. He was in the on the 49ers staff when Jim was out there winning a lot of games and a lot of postseason games. So they asked for permission from Michigan to at least reach out to him. No one seems to know how far that went or if there's any interest to continue on, because they do have second interviews lined up for some of the candidates they've already have talked with. So, right. But with Jim Harbaugh, do you need a second interview or was that a quick thanks but no thanks? I don't know how that worked. But
well, you shouldn't. Were you upset that he really didn't get a look as far as we know here?
No.
I wasn't.
No, I'm not. Yeah, no, I really thought that the Raiders would be in play because that would be a big type of splash that they would make out there and that they would come up with the money that would take. Although I did see where Jim Harbaugh's latest contract with Ann Arbor, with the University of Michigan, reduced his guaranteed compensation and gave him more money that he could make up with incentives. And I don't know if it's coincidence, but then he went and had his best season leading Michigan this year because he needed the incentive money. I don't know, but it turned out that way.
Now, with the Raiders in Vegas, I'm kind of surprised they haven't pulled the trigger yet. So the plot thickens now that he's talked to Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, maybe that'll come out soon enough, but look, we've talked about Mel Tucker getting $9.5 million, Brian Kelly getting that, and then some down
there's,
at
there's
LSU.
There's some money in college for sure.
Yeah, and so if you're going to lure these guys away from the college game, you're going to have to start ponying up what they're making to be king of the campus.
And Jim is a hero in Ann Arbor right now.
Yeah, for the time being. Busy beat Ohio State finally.
Right, for the time being. But, you know, right now, that would be the time. But you've got to pony up the money. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I'm okay. And now I've seen some people kind of show some frustration that he wasn't really considered, as far as we know, again, for the head coaching job of the Bears. I'm not, and I'm good with wherever, whatever he does from here.
Yeah. If he ends up in Minnesota, that'd be interesting, right? Yeah. What do you do with Kirk Cousins? What, he's got one more year left, a lot of money up there. And so they have some, obviously they have the coaching decision. They have a quarterback decision to make once they get the head coach hired on. So then they decide whether to trade Kirk Cousins or pay him and see how that goes one more season.
312-332-3776. Mark in Chesterton wants to jump on. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I got to say, it's hard being a Patriot fan out here.
I would imagine.
I've been a Patriot fan since Drew Bledsoe, so I was fortunate enough to have Tom Brady just dropped in my lap, basically. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why anybody would be upset. When he left Boston, I wasn't upset.
No?
20 years. Nine?
A lot of happiness,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I
guess I'm saying that, you know, he went down to Tampa Bay and won it the first year. You know, I didn't know how that kind of came across to Patriots fans, but certainly you know what you had with him, and it wasn't going to last forever. Even Brady is going to get too old to play at some point.
And that's the harsh thing about sports. I have a young son, you know. At least he got 4 years of Brady. That's how I look at it. But
and Bears fans' sons got 36 quarterbacks in the time that. Pick one. Pick one you really enjoy. Yeah.
That's we have to bear. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I love Brady. I'm really wondering what he's going to do when he's done. Is he going to be a good coach, or does he just sit in the background? That's my question.
Have a slice of pizza. That's the first step.
I mean, does he want to run a team? Does he go John Elway route? I can't imagine he's going to coach, but I mean, with his money, he could buy a team or lead a ownership group.
Probably.
I'm serious. I mean, it'd be interesting. Or does he just, go off and he said everyone says it's about spending time with their family and kids and all that. But I would imagine he could do that. And I mean, he's still
a
very young man.
Hey, how about a podcast with Belichick?
Oh, boy. We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, what do you think about that? We're on to Cincinnati. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
I got to hop off, guys.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. It'll be interesting to see what he does. He's just not going to melt into the background.
Well, he's a businessman already, right? He's got TB12.
Yep.
Do you think he stays in football? If he does, it's going to be as a president of a team or an ownership group. He's not going to be on a sideline.
That sounds about right.
He's not going to be throwing the challenge flag out somewhere, that's not his style.
No.
I
think the Elway plan might work out for him. We'll see. 312-332-3776. We're going to take a break here, come back, wrap up the poll that we have up on ESPN 1000, and take your phone calls. It's Hanley, it's Xander. This is ESPN 1000. We'll be right back. ESPN 1000, available on the ESPN 1000 app. If you don't have that, it is free, and it is pretty incredible. Easiest radio station app I've ever used.
Absolutely.
And it's simple. The tiles are there, and you can find our podcast after we're done under additional podcasts. Bears Bonanza Monday tomorrow right here on ESPN 1000. We start with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, 5 to 7. 7 to 10, you got Cap and J. Hood. 10 to 1, Carmen and Yurko. They will have Ryan Poles in the noon hour, the new GM of the Chicago Bears. 1 to 2, commercial-free, Carmen and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie all together. Then 2 to 6, you get Waddle and Sylvie. That's their usual time slot. They will have Matt Eberflus, the new Bears head coach, on during the afternoon between 2 and 6. And then Bleck and Abdallah wrap up Bears Bonanza Monday between 6 and 8 right here on ESPN 1000. So we've got that poll. Brian, we've got the poll asking, what is your Super Bowl matchup? Four choices, obviously, with the games going on today. Chiefs versus Rams, Chiefs versus 49ers, Bengals versus Rams, Bengals versus 49ers. And I'm taking the first one. You're taking the last one, Bengals versus 49ers.
You're getting even money, and I'm getting plus 900.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And you're more likely to cash.
We'll see. We'll see. But you make a very interesting argument. So we're going to see how this poll turns out here.
Yeah. And by the way, yesterday we mentioned how the Bears, Ryan Pace ignored the offensive line and, spent as little money on it as he could. And every decision he made was a bad one. And that's why you had the issues you did. It should excite you that both Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, his new assistant GM, former offensive lineman, right?
Yes, and that's a great point. Yeah, if you didn't know that, that's a great point to make, that they have that experience. And Scott Pioli, who we had, we played some audio, I'm not sure we'll have time to get that in there today, but he had mentioned that as well.
Yeah, so not only the GM, but now his new assistant, and they've never had an assistant GM. It's a new structured front office. At least they know what they're looking at and what it takes. And again, it's going to take a lot of heavy lifting to get this thing back up and running. But
well, hey, Ryan Poles is showing up at 5 a.m. He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And,
are the arrows pointing up at Hallis Hall? Is that what we're saying here?
And Luke Getsy is showing up.
Yep.
I don't know if it's 5 a.m., but he's showing up.
So Jake Cantu, our producer, has the results of the poll. Jake, what's it look like here?
So Chiefs, Rams, 43.3%, Chiefs 49ers 22.5%, Bengals Rams 11.1%, the lowest, and then Bengals 49ers 23.1%.
See, there's some people out there going to roll the dice on us. I'm going to put some money down that Bengals Niners,
okay,
and maybe KC Rams, but we'll see.
312-332-3776, any last-minute calls. I want to play this. This is something that we played yesterday, and now that we have Luke Getsy, our new OC for the Bears, this is Jay Cutler talking to Waddle and Sylvie about the importance of a first-time play caller and how this, as far as Jay goes, thinks this should go down.
We've talked about it numerous times. This is an art form. Like, calling plays isn't just like, hey, looking at a piece of paper and just firing off something. This is, there's a system. You got to set plays up. You've got to coordinate this. You've got to get a feel. You got to have a gut feel on third down, on first down, like what's going to happen. And these defensive coordinators are better than ever of just turning the dial. And, everyone gets the analytics. Everyone gets the breakdown. So they know what they call on third down. They know when they call on second down. So, they're going to call something different. So it's harder than ever, I think, to be an OC and to do it for the first time in Chicago. It's just you're asking a lot from somebody that's never done it.
Yeah, that seems to be right, Brian. But and having somebody that came out of the Green Bay system, seeing what Aaron was able to do in the regular season, it's got to help.
Well, and we talked about it. I don't know if Jay would be sold on the experience that Luke Getsy had at Mississippi State or Indiana University, Pennsylvania. But he did call it at the college level. Now, it wasn't exactly Alabama, but he did it for a year at Mississippi State. So I'm with Jay, though. I mean, Matt Nagy's downfall was there was no feel. There was no rhyme or reason. There was no flow to the play calling. Even the scripted plays of 25 or so plays to start a game usually ended up in futility and no points. So that's why he'll never be a head coach again, and Ryan Pace will never be a GM again. But hopefully Luke Getsy will have that feel and that gut feel and that rhythm, and off you go, and Justin Fields starts looking like the real deal.
Right, and with what we heard from Devontae Adams, what we heard from Aaron Rodgers on the character and the approach of Luke Getsy, he's a guy that can work with young quarterbacks. He was a quarterback, and I know Nagy was before, but putting that behind us, you know, being out of the Green Bay system, causing a little disruption there, getting a guy who has worked with Jordan Love, and that's an unproven commodity up there so far, but having him work with Justin Fields, it seems to be a better conclusion than maybe it was yesterday. We learned so much more about your new offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, from Matt Schneidman and some other stuff. Adam Hogue, a great column at NBCSportsChicago.com. So I think the arrow's pointing up at Hallis Hall. Certainly does give us hope. But we've been here before.
You got to believe. Yeah. I mean, until proven otherwise, you got to have faith,
yep,
right?
Yep. That's where we're at right now. So the Bengals will take on the Chiefs at 3 p.m. Brian, you've got the Bengals and the
double upset today.
Okay, double upset. That's what you're calling for. The Niners over the Rams for Brian. I'm taking the Rams on that. I'm taking the Chiefs, but the Bengals are going to make it close. Certainly an exciting day for football here starting at 3 p.m. And then the late game is at 6:30. So, yeah, we got a new OC. We just got to get that DC now.
Yeah, and I imagine we'll be hearing about that. And it, right. You know, first of all, because Matt Eberflus is that guy, and maybe there's, you know, not as much a sense of urgency to find him because you have him as a head coach. But right. we'll find out.
Yeah, lots to talk about this week, starting with Bears Bonanza tomorrow. Tomorrow all day, right here on ESPN 1000, starting with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Brian Hanley, thank you so much for hanging out. I'm Mark Zander, and this is ESPN 1000.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago ESPN 1000.
A good Karma Brands.